we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Oh, good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Joining Bob Arthurs, that's me, here for another morning drive into work, or maybe you're already at work. And so thank you for tuning in. We want to pray God's best upon you today, that we would make the most of this gift that he has given to us, and that he would use it to touch and impact lives. Last Wednesday, I had a meeting, and it was with some of our ministry team, and said, "Oh, Pastor, I forgot to tell you, someone just gave their heart to the Lord here recently." And I was like, "Praise God, praise God!" You know, that's what we are here for. It was a person who was invited to come to church. They came, they heard the gospel, and they gave their life to the Lord. And so we are very thankful. Heaven threw a party over that, and we are as well. So we celebrate. We actually saw a number of people give their heart to Jesus and get saved over the summertime, and we are greatly, greatly excited about the growth of the kingdom. My philosophy as a pastor is this: God spoke this to me probably 20 years ago. He said, "If you will focus on building my kingdom, I will focus on growing your church," or his church, our congregation. And so that's what we do. We sow seeds. We sow seeds a lot of places. And we do that with the intent and the desire and the purpose of seeing people's lives transformed by the grace of the living God. Don't ever give up hope. Don't ever give up hope. We want to say thank you today to Teresi Auto Sales and Repair, 636-4910. They're on Clear Lake Road, a couple of blocks south of Dixon. They're on the west side of the road in a blue and yellow building there, and they've been taking good care of our vehicles, and I know that they will do the same for you. So if you need a vehicle to purchase, you can give them a call, 636-4910, or if you need one repaired, give them a call as well, and they will take good care of you. So tonight is our family night at Merritt Assembly of God, and we have resumed our adult Bible studies. We've adjusted our schedule to try and manage the facility limitations that we have around all of the different classes that are going on. I want you to know that our midweek service is not a shrinking service. It's a growing service. And we are, as the adults, we meet at 7 o'clock. If you've got kids, the kids class starts at 6:30. And the reason that we have the staggered times there is because we both utilize the same room for a different period of time. The kids start off using the room, and then when they scatter to their classes, then the adults come in, and we praise and worship the Lord, praise God, present our prayer request, and then we spend some time in the Word. We are in Psalm 91. If you want to read through that and prepare to come to the Bible study tonight, that is where we are. So we would like to invite everybody out for that. If you've got kids, now we do strive to end at the same time, about 7:45. We're pretty conscientious of the fact that it's a school night, and we want you to be able to get your kids home, spend some time with them, put them to bed, let them get all the sleep that is necessary for them to excel at their responsibilities there at school. So yesterday we had talked about when for Hezekiah things went from bad to worse, and then they ended up miraculous, where Hezekiah was miraculously healed. Listen, when you are under attack, people notice. And when God moves on your behalf, it spikes people's curiosity. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about people who took notice of what God was doing on behalf of his people. And so you are going to see here, because this is as the king, the nation of Assyria is diminishing and the kingdom of Babylon is starting to rise. It hasn't reached the level of Nebuchadnezzar yet. It would still take quite some time for that to take place. But let's look at Isaiah chapter 39 today. And then I'm really excited about our next program tomorrow, where we start into Isaiah chapter 40. It's a great chapter. Isaiah 39, verse number 1. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that he had been sick and had recovered. And Hezekiah was pleased with them and showed them the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said, "What did these men say, and from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came to me from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" And Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "At least there will be peace and truth in my days." Now, on yesterday's broadcast, I told you how Hezekiah, in his prayer to God, had said, "God, I can't wait to impart to the future generations, to my children. I want to have a father-son relationship with them that will make known your truth." That was what he said. And here at the end of the chapter, we see that Hezekiah has adopted a mindset that says, "Okay, whatever happens in the future, that's not of such a great concern to me, as long as there is peace and truth in my days." I want to ask you today to live with the mindset of empowering the future generations to walk in spiritual victory, not just for you and I to experience the blessings and the favor of God in our time without them knowing what, knowing where those blessings came from. At our leadership event here, our Mornings Matter Growth Workshop here a couple of weeks ago, Duke Matlock said, "The first generation remembers what sin was like, the price tag and the pain that it brought. And so they, when they have been delivered, they tend to be very passionate about their relationship with God. The second may have experienced some of those things, but the second generation that grows in their relationship with God, they may not have the intensity and the focus and may demonstrate less passion and less commitment to passing on to that third generation what God has done." And by that third generation, it ends up being cultural Christianity rather than relational Christianity. And we don't want that. You can see that in American history. In the colonies, the only way you were allowed to vote in when the colonies were first established was if you were a member of the church. And so there were different denominations with different established over different colonies, and in many of these colonies, you had to be a member of the church. That means that you had to have professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You had to admit that you want him to be your Lord and Savior. And then what happened was, as time went on, some of that next generation, they didn't want to be members of the church. They hadn't seen the oppression in the native lands where the parents had come from. They didn't realize the importance of that. And so it ended up being, well, you can vote as long as you are children of the members of the church. And then it became as long as you are grandchildren of the members of the church. And now we have reached a point in our society where if you are a member of a Bible-preaching church, Bible-believing church, that it almost disqualifies you from being considered from public office. Do you realize that Christianity is still the predominant religion in America, and the bulk of that Christianity is represented in evangelical churches rather than just mainline denominations? And yet, there is very little representation of evangelical Christianity in the upper echelons of our government. There's no representation on the Supreme Court, to the best of my knowledge. Everybody there is pretty much mainline denominational, or they are non-denominational, or of other faith persuasions. And so I believe that we need to be concerned about passing on to our kids a real life encounter with God, a real life encounter with God. That's very, very important. Parents, listen to me. Grandparents, hear me today. Hear my heart. It is one of our highest responsibilities is to make sure that our children know their God. If they're going to ever do great exploits, it says the people that know their God shall do great exploits. We need people of faith, men and women of faith, in the generation to come after us, should the Lord tarry. Please impart faith to your kids. Give them every opportunity to know Jesus. If you have grandchildren, let them know that the greatest thing on this earth is falling in love with Jesus Christ. So let me tell you how they arrived at that point. And that was the king of Babylon had heard about this healing that had taken place in Hezekiah's life. And so he came to hear the testimony. He came to hear of what had taken place that brought about this recovery. I want to challenge you to be ready to share your testimony, to be able to give a reason for the things that you believe. Don't just say, well, that's what I believe, that's what I've always believed. You need to be able to show things in accordance with the Word. I had a phone call, I think I told you about it. It might have been another conversation. I have a lot of conversations, and believe it or not, some of the same stories show up in the conversation. I had a person that called me from California, and they were just basically wanting to argue theology. And as I was beginning to address the points, and I shared with them from the Scripture why I believed what I believed. And they didn't really like that. But our faith is a substantial thing. We should be able to give an account. You should know the Word of God. You should know on what this confidence, this hope that we have is established. Be ready to give an account. Your personal testimony and my personal testimony has tremendous power. It has power to bring comfort and hope. What if when this guy, Merodach Baladan, showed up at his door. What if Hezekiah had said, "Man, you've just got to hear this. I was sick. The prophet came and told me I was going to die, and I prayed, and God spoke to the prophet and said, I'm going to extend his life because he has cried out to me and he asked for me. And the prophet came back and he told me what to do. And God healed me. He gave me a sign that it was actually going to come to pass. And the sign happened." Now, I believe that sign is one of the ways that the people in Babylon got their attention. They were very attentive to the things that were going on in the heavens. And in order for the sun to go back, you know, 10 degrees, that would have caught people's attention who were paying attention to the heavenlies. And so there was this opportunity for Hezekiah to give glory to God in such an extent that it could have caused the people of Babylon not to be idolaters for the next multiple hundred, or, you know, the next hundreds of years. It could have caused them to say, "Who is this God and how can I know him?" Let's use our testimony as an opportunity to communicate to those that God loves that they too can have the same relationship with God. So anyway, they come, they show him, or they ask him about his story, and Hezekiah begins to reveal all of the treasures of his kingdom, of his heart. He shows them everything that he uses this opportunity to reveal his vast treasure instead of his amazing testimony. So I like to deal with practical matters here on the Refresh Radio program. And so I want to share with you something that it took me over 50 years to learn. I'm in my mid-50s. You can't get more mid-50s than I am. And it took me a long time. It wasn't until a few years ago that I learned this principle that God spoke to me, and this is what he said. Just because someone asks a question doesn't mean that you have to provide them an answer. I'm going to say it again. Just because someone asks you a question doesn't mean that you have to provide them an answer. You say, well, that's kind of rude. And so I want to present it to you like this. If somebody asks you for the password to your bank account so that they can access your online account, are you going to give them that password? You would say, no, they're not entitled to that. So people know that you won't do that in a forthright manner. And so scammers create websites and emails that try and look like they're legitimate from your banking institution, send you an email and said, we're going to need you to confirm your bank account information and your password. Let me tell you, if you're listening to me, banks don't do that. Banks don't do that. They don't ask you to confirm your information. You can log on, and if you don't remember your information, they will be happy to work with you through that process. And so if you're listening right now and someone approaches you and asks you for those sorts of details, don't give it to them. If they contact you by email asking you to confirm those things, don't give it to them. You don't have to. Someone is trying to take advantage of you. There are a lot of times that the media ask questions that are questions that they really don't have. They don't need the answer to that question. And then there are sometimes that the media just doesn't ask any questions at all, even though they should be asking questions. So I want to encourage you, you don't have to reveal everything there is about you. Now, as I was preparing for this, I'm going to get quite personal and quite real here, and that is this. If you are dating someone and they ask you to reveal your greatest physiological treasures to them and they're not married to you, don't reveal those treasures. Those are treasures that are meant to be revealed only to the man or the woman. One man, one woman is all that marriage is. That's God's definition. I'm going to stick with God's definition, not the Supreme Court's definition. And you only reveal those treasures to those for whom those treasures are reserved. Don't be going and revealing everything there is about you to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that comes down the road. Okay? I will tell you that you need to conduct yourselves with some discretion and some wisdom. Okay, make sure that it is someone that is appropriate. And so Hezekiah gets a visit from Isaiah. Now, I don't know about you, but after the last couple of visits from Isaiah, the first one would have caused me some, you know, anxiety, and then the second one brought me a great deal of relief. And so Isaiah comes in, and Isaiah starts asking him, and he says, what did these men say, and where did they come from, and what have they seen in your house? And Hezekiah, I believe, didn't realize that the day-to-day activities that he had just engaged in were going to have future implications for his country and for his descendants. But you and I, we need to live our lives today in such a manner that we know that the way that we live today is going to impact our tomorrow, and it's going to impact our kids tomorrow. It has national implications here in Hezekiah's case. There aren't inconsequential actions. So he tells them, I've shown them everything in my house. There's nothing that I didn't reveal to them. There is nothing that I've withheld. And Isaiah says, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when everything, all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, and you and whom you will beget, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Let me tell you what he just told Hezekiah. He said, because of what you've done, there is a day that is coming that your future posterity is going to be cut off. They are going to reach an end. A eunuch was a person who was rendered incapable of producing offspring. And he said, that's what awaits some of your future generation. You have future generations that's going to be the end of the line for that branch. Now, fortunately, it did not eliminate all of the descendants, because Jesus came through the lineage of David. So we need to be thankful to God that for his mercy, even during dire circumstances. Okay. I want to live my life in such a way that my future, you know, that my kids and my grandkids have greater impact or have greater blessing set up for them. I want them to be blessed by my current actions, not led into captivity by my future actions. Do you realize that, that bondage can sometimes extend to the third and fourth generation? Curses can extend. And so people who are bound by alcohol, that there can be impact for generations. That's why I don't want those things controlling my life, because I don't want my future generations dealing with those sorts of issues. I don't want them having to deal with drugs or alcohol, and I really don't want them having to deal with poverty either. So, you know, I want them empowered by the word of God. A practical tip that I was told, I'm going to pass this along to you, is that whenever you have kids and grandkids, if you've got a bunch of digital photos, one of the things that this article I read a couple of months ago said is set up an email account for them And that way they have access to all of those photos. So you can just email them those photos and they're there. And then there's no squabbles or anything like that over future generations over who gets this picture or who gets that picture. Anyway, that's just a practical thing that I ran across a couple of months ago. So verse number 8. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, the word of the Lord, which you have spoken is good. For he said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. Let's, you know, there's a term that's been talked about here. As far as the finances of the United States of America, and it's described as kicking the can down the road, where we don't make the hard decisions now. Instead, we just kick the problem down the road a little bit further. And I can tell you from personal experience, not in a financial realm, but in other realms, that kicking the can down the road and procrastinate in dealing with the situation, first of all, it doesn't solve the problem. Second, it's not healthy. Third, it's not beneficial for those people who eventually have to deal with the problem. Let's be mature. Let's be adult. Let's understand that the God that we have relationship with has a solution to the problem. I tell people all the time, you know, if I had to, I would be, you know, I've never done this, so understand this is theoretical. This is a verbal representation, not an actual representation. If I had to wrestle an alligator, I could, but I would rather wrestle that alligator when it's 18 inches long than wait until it's a 9-foot long monster. You see, because that 18 incher, it tends to grow and it tends to become more powerful and it tends to become more menacing, more life threatening. And so I would rather deal with the problems when it's a very small problem than it is a great big one. Let's deal with the issues that we face in such a way. If you've got problems in your marriage, deal with them while they're small. That's why the Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with those problems while they're very, very small. It's, you know, the scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. Deal with those problems. Don't let them grow. Don't let them magnify. Instead, let God deal with them so that other people are benefited because of your testimony of blessing and favor of God instead of the consequences of ignoring his word. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that we would walk in truth, that we would walk in wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom when dealing with those around us, that we would be able to share our testimony of your goodness. And God, I pray that future generations will be blessed because we walked with you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.